Rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. DT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com, your Chevrolet Buick dealer in Emporia. As we get ready for kind of a gloomy sports talk today, as Thursday and Friday this week, not as bright and shiny as it was a week ago. Emporia State football on Thursday night, losing at Central Oklahoma 21-13. And then last night, Emporia High Spartans losing to Liberal 53-0, the final score in that game. Hopefully KU and K-State can make things a little brighter for this weekend, even for Emporia State. The soccer team losing at Washburn last night, volleyball team losing to nationally ranked Nebraska Kearney. It showed some signs of improvement last night, but it's been kind of a rough start to the weekend sports-wise. Also coming up this morning, we'll visit with Emporia High football coach Teton Cuddle. That's easy for me to say. Keaton Tuttle. Here in just a moment, and then also hear from Mitch Holtz, voice of the Chiefs, says he'll preview Sunday's season opener for the Chiefs at Arizona. And with that, we welcome in Emporia High football coach Keaton Tuttle as he joins us on the Sutherland's studio line. Apply for a Sutherland's credit card and enjoy special offers and discounts at Sutherland's. And Coach Tuttle, last night is one of those games. I'm sure your mom and dad told you when you were getting into coaching, and somewhere along the line, coaches told you that there were going to be nights where you just want to erase the video of it and get focused on the next game. And last night was one of those games for your football team where you give credit to Liberal. They came to town and they were ready to play, and they just put together a really impressive game plan, and unfortunately your guys couldn't keep up with Liberal last night.
Yeah, I couldn't probably have said it better myself at all. You know, they were definitely ready to go. That's one of the things, you know, we get a team in that, you know, we don't see a whole lot, having for a few years. But, you know, they were physical up front, and they knew where to attack us, and they definitely did.
I guess one thing, Coach, and Darian brought this up on the broadcast, is Liberal was going 8-8 up front on the defensive side of the ball, and that's kind of where they went when Bobby was trying to run. And, I mean, the longest run last night was 13 yards by Bobby, but, you know, they were big and physical up front. You know, just talk about how things just kind of went south, and I mean, they were huge up front.
Yeah, you know, we thought we obviously wanted to establish the run, and you know, we tried at, you know, various different angles of trying to do that, and then, you know, once it wasn't there, you know, we needed to throw the ball a little bit. And when you don't have a whole lot of success throwing the ball, you know, it allows them to sell out on the run. You know, they were bringing pressure on our ISOs all night long. You know, stuff that, you know, a week ago we had pretty good success in, and this week, you know, we didn't. But, you know, that's one reason we got to be able to, you know, throw the ball a little bit, keep them honest, bring some of that pressure away from the inside, because, you know, anytime you're blocking, you know, six on eight, you know, that you're obviously down in your numbers there. So, they were physical up front. They were big, strong, you know, a lot of credit to them. They, you know, decided what they were going to stop, and they definitely did.
And another thing, you know, you had your chances early. You know, they coughed. They had a fumble. I believe it was on their second possession, and then you guys couldn't get nothing out of it. But the defense early on, you know, were able to keep you guys in that game, forcing three turnovers there in the first half. But in that third quarter, when it's still 20-0, and you guys get a fumble, and you have your best field position, but you go for it on fourth down. You know, when that turnover happened in the third quarter. Did you feel like that was kind of a turning point, that if you guys scored, that it becomes a new ball game?
Yeah, you know, a little bit. It's tough. Anytime you're not able to move the ball and not able to put up points, you know, you put your defenses back against the wall, and you know, when they're out for as many reps as they are, against a team that likes to run downfield, and you know, your guys are getting gassed, and especially those same guys are rolling on offense and special teams as well. So, you know, not that it's an excuse. You know, we know, you know, exactly who our guys are and where we're going to be. They're going to continue to get better. We know that. We're all going to. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely an area you could kind of feel the tide turn just a little bit. But again, you know, I was proud to see a lot of our guys fighting all the way to the end, which, you know, says a lot about them as well.
Their passing attack, did that catch you guys a little bit by surprise, or were you anticipating that they'd be trying to throw the ball like they did?
You know, it's something we were definitely preparing for. We didn't quite think they're going to throw it as well as they did. I mean, their quarterback last night was, you know, kudos to him because he was putting the ball right on the money almost every single time, you know, and that's, you know, something that from the prior week till now, it's something they definitely got a lot better at as the week went on. You know, we knew they had some pretty good speed on the outside. They had a guy who could throw the ball, and they definitely did.
And, of course, you know, they had the good receivers in Rotolio and Martinez. And if you look at their numbers combined, 13 catches for 400 yards even. What's something, like, when you're going up against an aerial attack like you saw last night, knowing that this situation happened already, how does that prepare you, knowing that it's something you could see in the near future?
You know, I think it gives some of our guys who haven't been in that situation a lot a chance to, you know, now they know. And it's you know, one thing to prepare on film. It's one to prepare in practice. It's a whole other one to be up to, you know, game speed and experience that firsthand. Because, you know, as we all know, the speed of the game from practice and things like that, it speeds up a lot come Friday night. So it is, you know, if there's a silver lining to it, we got a lot of guys in and they had a chance to, you know, have some game experience and, you know, grow and get better from there.
Well, that's probably the big plus from Friday night. Now you have video, you have some teaching tools to help your guys out and help them see where they can be better.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's, you know, it's a nice thing about these guys is they understood, you know, Friday night. And I told them just, you know, myself and our entire staff and the players all included, you know, we earned everything we got, good or bad, you know, and that's one of those nights where it wasn't good. But the nice thing about it is they're not going to quit. They're going to keep fighting. They know where we want to be. They know where we've been, you know, so they're going to continue to get better. You know, you could feel the frustration. You could feel, you know, the determination of how, you know, this isn't something we want to do. I know a lot of our upperclassmen, especially our captains, you know, they know how unacceptable it was, but we told them last week, and it's something we'll go back to a lot. Is, you know, we'll be winners when we practice like winners, and I think they're going to come back on Monday, and we're going to start to definitely see a big change there.
As you look back at the game and have had a chance to maybe look at some of the film from last night, what were maybe some of the positives you saw from your football team?
You know, we had, you know, guys who were running the ball hard, and obviously, you know, when you're down 53 or, you know, 46, whatever it may be, it'd be pretty easy to, you know, think, I got to take the ball here. You know, they called his own play for me, and, you know, they didn't do that. And that's a nice thing. You know, these guys, you know, it's down against it. They still don't quit. Says a lot about them as, you know, people. The one thing I really took away from it is we had guys who were, you know, visibly upset after the game. And it's not necessarily, you know, that they're not upset at their teammates. They're kind of just upset with, you know, they have a standard for themselves and they felt like they didn't reach that, which is nice to see because, you know, they're not okay with losing games. They're not okay with being where we're at. And, you know, that's going to give us the opportunity to keep working and to improve.
And I know you're not going to use it as an excuse, but you were minus a couple players last night due to injuries.
Yeah, we were. And, you know, that's it. I told Sheldon Stewart last night, I give him a lot of credit. He's a tough kid. He's a great kid. And he's really turned into a very fine football player, you know. But, you know, he's in a situation, calling the offense in a spot that he hasn't been in for a long, since basically week one. And that's a lot of pressure. And we knew there was going to be mistakes, and he knew that too. But I think he did a nice job for having to step in and try to fill that void. And, he's bound and determined to get better. And he will, he's that type of kid. He's always got a great attitude, always got a smile on his face. He's going to come back ready to work Monday. And, we're excited and looking forward to that.
How do you feel like Sheldon kind of gained some reps in practice early on, knowing that, it could happen? He could be the guy to go to.
Yeah, I think a lot of our guys look to him, as well. He is a leader. He's one of our guys throughout the summer who was, over 100% of the stuff we did that he was at, and on top of that, doing other sports as well. The guys, they'll rally around him, and he's going to continue to work hard, and he already has. He was asking questions last night as, we're leaving the locker room and things like that. So that's nice stuff, to see, Fred, is helping him as much as he possibly can, which is another great thing to see, because these guys, they compete with each other, but they're there for each other, and as a team, they want to improve.
Well, you have Salinas Central coming up this Friday, traveling to Salina, and Salinas Central coming off a loss last night themselves. But what do you know about Salinas Central? What challenges will they offer your guys?
Again, they've got some pretty good size. Quarterback's pretty good size and can run well. And they've definitely got some speed. So, we're definitely going to have to be physical. We're going to have to really stress our passing game and try to get a little pressure off of, our box so we are able to run the ball. And then honestly, the main thing is staying healthy and coming back and having a great week of practice, for us. That's going to be a big thing. We haven't played since I've been here. We haven't played Salina Central. I know Coach Wells is from Salina Central, so he gets to make that trip back home for, a Friday night. And, like I said, I think our guys are ready to get back after it, try to, put this one behind us. But, a very good team that we'll be going up against. I think they're well coached, and it's going to give us a good challenge.
Last meeting for Emporia High against Salina Central 2009, so that's a long time because I remember back when I was in school, Salina Central and Salina South and Topeka West were in district with Emporia High as well. But this is a game I'm looking forward to because this was a Salina Central team that I know a lot about. Even when I came back here, I still knew about them. Kenyon McMillan's going to be one of the kids that's going to be giving them the workload in the backfield. Got a lot of speed. Gunnar Gross is replacing Parker Kavanaugh, who's now a walk-on at K-State. They got some guys up front that are still returning, and they got pieces back in the secondary. But, you know about these guys, and I kind of saw this when Parker Kavanaugh was a junior, but they were in kind of a shootout last night, and then they had a pick six, giving up a pick six there at the end of the game last night. But just another road trip coming up. It's the first of two. Just how can they keep the mindset that it's another winnable week coming up for your guys?
Yeah, one of the biggest things is being confident in our ability. And, we tell our guys all the time, do your job, trust your teammates to do theirs. And I think, if we get back to that, I think that, they'll understand, hey, we can be a very good team. We just got to trust each other and stay within ourselves and, have some success out there and get back after it.
Did you guys come out of the game okay health-wise?
A couple guys, we're looking at, don't really know the specifics on it yet. A lot of bangs and bruises, had a guy bang up a foot a little bit, but like I said, don't know the full specifics of that. But for the most part, I think we did. I think if anything, it was our pride was hurt more than anything else. So, but it's also nice to see, we know that it's not okay with them to drop a game like that. That can turn into a positive.
Yeah, hopefully that provides the motivation for these guys to take the next step in the right direction. And Coach, have a great week of practice. Good luck on Friday night at Salina Central.
All right, thank you, guys. We do appreciate it.
That's Emporia High football coach Keaton Tuttle joining us here on Saturday morning sports talk. Again, Spartans losing to Liberal 53-0. They'll play at Salina Central this next Friday night. So another tough road trip on tap for the Emporia High Spartans as he joins us on the Sutherland studio line. We'll take our first break, and we'll be back with more right after this timeout. This is Saturday morning sports talk. We're driven by LongPineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. As the fall championship sports hit full stride last weekend, it was announced that the NCAA Division I Board of Directors approved several recommendations from the D1 Transformation Committee related to transfer rules across all D1 sports. The biggest of the changes requires that any member school awarding scholarships to transferring student-athletes must honor that financial commitment for the rest of the student's five-year eligibility or until they complete their bachelor's degree. The commitment is released if the student transfers again or engages in a professional sport. The board also clarified that college athletes are immediately eligible when transferring for the first time, as long as they notify their school during their sport's designated notification window. Coming up, FCS football players that are now playing on Sundays on This Week in the NCAA.
You can't get much for $5 these days. Unless you go to Wendy's for a $5 Biggie Bag. Get your choice of double stack, junior bacon cheeseburger, or crispy chicken BLT. Plus, four-piece nugs, fries, and a drink. All for just $5.
You got that bag. You got that Biggie Bag. You got that bag.
That was smooth, wasn't it? That's how you're going to feel when you get that Biggie Bag at Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes four-piece nuggets, small soft drink, and small fry. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
You can't get much for $5 these days. Unless you go to Wendy's for a $5 Biggie Bag. Get your choice of double stack, junior bacon cheeseburger, or crispy chicken BLT. Plus, four-piece nugs, fries, and a drink. All for just $5.
You got that bag. You got that Biggie Bag. You got that bag.
That was smooth, wasn't it? That's how you're going to feel when you get that Biggie Bag at Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes four-piece nuggets, small soft drink, and small fry. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Championships. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongPineAuto.com. And just as a side note from Emporia High football team, Fred Jackson, starting quarterback, out with an injury last night. Not sure of his availability the rest of the season. They're hoping he'll be able to make it back and help out the Spartan football team. Other games last night, the game you heard on Country 101.7 FM, it was Bishop Ward defeating Olpe 16-13. Close, hard-fought game, and Olpe had chances, but unfortunately, it just came up a little bit short. But as Coach Chris Schmidt said after the game, the games like they've played the last 2 weeks against Topeka Hayden and Bishop Ward will make them a better football team as they get closer to district play and get into to postseason play. So, Opie, a rare 0-2 to start the season, and they have another tough one coming up this coming Friday when they'll host Osage City, who's undefeated after Osage City defeated Burlington last night 44-20. So Osage City having an outstanding season to start. And next week it's Opie and Osage City, homecoming for the Opie Eagles. So I'm sure the place will be packed down at Opie for that showdown.
Well, I'm pretty sure that when you look across the state, it's strength of schedule for schools that are in the 1A classification.
Nobody's going to have a tougher.
I don't think there's going to be too many who will have a more difficult schedule the first 3 weeks and what the Eagles will see.
Yeah, 2-3A schools and then 2A school this next week, and then the schedule might settle down just a little bit. And in his pregame comments, I caught him saying, you know, somebody needs to talk to the AD at OP.
yeah. Who put this schedule together?
And for those who may not be aware, Chris Schmidt is the athletic director and the football coach and boys basketball coach.
He's inflicting his own pain here. So.
All with a purpose. With a purpose. Yep. Other final scores last night, Madison defeating Meredith Valley 52-0. Burlingame, a 54-6 winner over Lebo. Linden shut out Harrington 48-0. Axtell over Hartford 54-0. Waverly in six-man football defeated Altoona Midway 51-6. And I just want to mention this. They played that game in the afternoon, and the reason for that is there's – and we talked about it on one of the sports talks this summer, officiating. There's a little lack of officials, and they decided if they wanted the game to be officiated that they had to play either Thursday night or Friday afternoon or maybe even Saturday. But they elected to go on a Friday afternoon, so Waverly gets the win in that one. Linden shut out Harrington 48-0. Council Grove, a 23-0 winner over Mission Valley, and Waubunsee defeated Northern Heights 74-6. Earlier this week, or on Thursday, Chase County played at Colony Crest, and Chase County won that game, and the reason they played on Thursday, again, officials. So
We're going to see this a lot, I'm afraid.
I think so, too. So if you have an interest in officiating football, any of the sports, take a closer look at it. Get a hold of the High School Activities Association. On their website, they have links to ways to become an official. How do you become an official? How do you become certified? Because the need is there. And you have to remember, it's for the kids. And hopefully the parents will start behaving. Because somewhere along the line, there'll probably be a game or a competition that gets canceled because they don't have officials. And I would not want my child to miss out on an opportunity to compete because there are no officials. And this not only affects varsity, but sub-varsity competitions as well. So the need is great for officials. And if you have an interest, please explore that opportunity. And remember, it's for the player. It's for the kids. Give them an opportunity to compete. A lot of activities going on today for Emporia High athletes. Emporia High boys soccer team, they're playing in their final match of the Titan Classic after they lost to Dodge City 3-0. And they have to feel pretty good about that one because they held Dodge City to three goals. Dodge City had been averaging 6-7 goals a match. But Emporia High has been averaging their fair share of matches because they won their first-round match 5-2. Unfortunately, lost to Dodge City, but today they will be taking on Wichita North for a chance. What is it, third place that they're playing for?
Yeah, I would think it's – I think it's different this year because it's not really a bracket. They have three scheduled games, so probably a third place game basically. So we'll see how Emporia High does. And, you know, I was texting back and forth with Coach Ibarra on Thursday night. And he said they didn't really, like, Dodge wasn't anything special. But that was a good game for them to have. It's going to prepare them for today's matchup with Wichita North. And I believe they got Hayden and Valley Center next week here at home. So this team's finally going to get to play at home next week. And you have two opportunities to go out to the turf and see these guys play.
Also in action today, Emporia High cross-country team. They're hosting their meet out at Jones Park. I'm sure the sub-varsity races are already underway.
Yeah.
And varsity, I think girls go at 10, followed by the boys probably about 10:30. And then the Emporia High girls tennis team has a home tournament today as well. Matches get underway at 9 o'clock this morning. So if you want to check out a couple of Emporia High teams. Also today, the volleyball team is at Valley Center. They're riding an 8-match winning streak as they'll have a chance to extend that. But they're going to see some good competition today. They've got Bishop Carroll is one of the teams that they'll face today in pool play. They also have Valley Center, Liberal, and one of the Wichita schools.
Wichita East.
Wichita East. So hopefully they can put themselves into bracket play. Out of pool play, and good luck to them. And the Emporia High gymnastics team will be going to Lawrence today for a meet as well. And with that being said, it's time now to select our Athletes of the Week. And we have a new sponsor this year. It's brought to you by Emporia Main Street, a thriving atmosphere for business, residents, and visitors. And they have a business that's inside Emporia Main Street that produces plaques and awards and trophies, and they will be providing a nice little plaque for our Emporia High and Area Athletes of the Week. And with Dylan Sherwood on board, we'll go ahead and let him kind of go through the possible options and announce who our Emporia High Athlete of the Week is, and then we'll select our Area Athlete of the Week.
So for a couple of nominees for Emporia High, you got to go with the Eckert sisters, another school record as a team this past week in the Seaman Invitational. Journey Walburn had a first-place finish and was third all around at the Newton Duel in gymnastics on Tuesday. And then Callie Keough, a freshman for Emporia High, goes 3-0 at the Spring Hill Quad at number one singles. Only a freshman, the sister of Coey, who played tennis for Emporia High from 16 to 19. Those would be some of my top nominees. But you know what? I'm going to go with the freshman, Callie Keough, 3-0 at Spring Hill. She's off to a 6-1 start. Went 3-1 in the first tournament of the year, a third-place finish in the Emporia High Invitational on the first, and a freshman making an impact. So I'm going to go with Callie Keough as our Emporia High Athlete of the Week.
And then for our Area Athlete of the Week, there have been some pretty impressive performances, but one that kind of stands out, Dylan.
Mitch Buckey.
Chase County.
Yeah.
And Chase County defeating Colony Crest on Thursday, scoring 70 points. But what are some of Mitch's numbers?
Well, he had 21 carries for 238 yards and 3 touchdowns, 201 yards passing and 3 touchdowns, and had 17 total tackles.
Well, that's quite a night, huh?
Could he walk on Friday?
Jeez, man, I tell you.
But and really neat kid. I've had a chance to talk to him a couple times. He has a brother that plays at Emporia State. Mitch Budke is our Area Athlete of the Week. Again, our Athletes of the Week, new sponsor, Emporia Main Street, a thriving atmosphere for business, residents, and visitors. Again, Mitch Budke of Chase County football team and Callie Keough of the Emporia High girls tennis team are our Athletes of the Week. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more and wait for our call from Mitch Holtis right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongBineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, We've got those too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union is convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union understands the Emporia mortgage market and offers flexible programs and down payment options to meet your needs. Plus, members enjoy credit union advantages like low closing costs, fast underwriting, in-branch payments, and local servicing. If you value exceptional personalized customer service for the life of your loan, visit esfcu.com to apply for your mortgage today. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA.
NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood on this Saturday morning and waiting for a call from Mitch Holtis as he'll preview the Chiefs and the Arizona Cardinals tomorrow. Kickoff at 3:25. You can hear the game on Country 101.7 FM. Also today, college football action. Kansas State hosting Missouri. Pregame coverage starting here in about 10 minutes on Country 101.7 FM. Kickoff at 11. KU opening up Big 12 play today as they go to Morgantown, West Virginia to take on West Virginia. That game will kick off at just after 5 o'clock. You can hear the game here on KVOE or our coverage starting at 3:30. If you're wondering about the Royals, they lose last night 10-2. They got mauled by the Tigers.
Yes, they did.
And today's game, if you were planning on going to Kansas City for today's game, they've changed the start time. It'll be a 3:10 first pitch instead of a 6:10 first pitch. So you might want to make change your plans accordingly. You get there at 6:10, you might be getting there at the end of the game instead of the start of the game.
You might see the ninth. You know,
you might see the ninth inning, but that's just the reason for that is weather. There's forecast for some storms and rain moving in later on this afternoon in the Kansas City area, so they decided to move up the start time. That might give them more time to play the game. They might be still trying to play at 10 o'clock tonight. Who knows, depending on what the weather situation is. But the Royals and the Tigers again today. But due to our coverage of KU football, we will not broadcast the Royals today here on KVOE. Thursday night, Emporia State football team goes down to Edmond, Oklahoma, feeling like, you know, this is a game they could win. You look at the final numbers, 468 yards of total offense, but they still lose 21-13. For me, the big stat, 0-for-5 on fourth down conversion attempts.
Yeah, I'm just listening to Coach Higgins, very disappointed with how the offense performed. You know, defensively, they certainly played well enough to win the football game. Unfortunately, man, offense was just really stagnant. They just couldn't get anything really consistently going.
They had a chance to tie it late in the game. They had it first and goal at the 10-yard line. Couldn't get it into the end zone. And I know they probably watched that whole series and tried to figure out what went right, what went wrong. Part of what didn't go right is Emporia State gave up a lot of rushing yards, 191 rushing yards, 102 of them by Central Oklahoma's quarterback, Stephon Brown, who also had two rushing touchdowns. So he throws for over 100 yards, rushes for over 100 yards, and Emporia State licking their wounds, getting ready for what will be a big challenge this coming Friday with Missouri Western coming to town. They're 0-2. They have wins at home over Central Oklahoma, 35-0, and they went out to Hayes and beat Hayes this past Thursday. So Missouri Western will be coming in with a little bit of momentum behind them and looking at, oh, the quarterback rushed for 102 yards against this defense. There are quarterback run option offense, and I'm sure they're saying, oh, here's a big opportunity. So Emporia State's defense really has some work that they also need to do to get ready for this week. With that, we welcome in Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, and Mitch's appearance is made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS 424226. Mitch Holtis joins us on the Sutherland studio line. Good morning, Mitch Holtis.
Good morning, Greg, and well done on the read of the Emporia State Federal Credit Union ad. You know, as exciting as these segments are, the most exciting thing is who will do the best job in reading that great ad. And you have us, it's like the scripting the first 15 plays, dude. You nailed it.
I worked on it during trading camp.
Well done. I can tell. You had the same training camp Chris Jones had. I was going to ask you, these Thursday night games, you know, I also do a similar show with your compadre at Fort Hays State, Gerard Welbrock, a huge Chiefs fan, and ask him about these Thursday night games and what you thought of them.
If they were playing their games every Thursday night, I could get used to it, but I don't like them. The nice thing about it, it does free up Saturday for me a little bit. You can watch, I can watch the other, some other college football, but, for me, college football was meant to be played on Saturday.
And I'm with you. Maybe I'm a purist or old school, but I just think, and particularly when you go on the road, on those Thursday nights, those are rough. So, but
yeah. We got back from Edmond, Oklahoma at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that's
perfect.
That's all I have to say.
Perfect. Well, that's like when we go on the road for a Sunday night or Monday nighter, and we go to Tampa this year. But when you have those West Coast games and lose 2 hours, like you play the Raiders or the Chargers on the road on a Sunday night or Monday night, you're rolling in about 5 a.m. and your next day starts as soon as you get off the plane. Those are the ones you got to deal with, but anyway, we're off and running, but go Hornets, 1-1.
Well, the Chiefs get a chance to finally play a game that counts wins and losses, taking on the Arizona Cardinals. And first off, let's get your impressions, your thoughts of the Chiefs coming out of training camp.
Well, it's kind of similar to you guys. You got a rookie sitting in there for Saturday morning sports talk in Dillon. We're going to put a bunch of rookies on the field tomorrow running around against the Cardinals. Quick synopsis, I'll give you the quick Cliff Notes version of what I thought of training camp in the offseason. One, this Chiefs team is hyper-focused. Maybe it's all the chatter that they're going to be any good. Maybe it was Tyreek Hill kind of popping off a few times, but this Chiefs team is hyper-focused, and it showed in the way they prepared in preseason. Hopefully that emanated in my reports to you. Two would be that the still an unknown is the integration of these four wide receivers that are brand new into this system. Seeing progress, but we won't know until we know. Three, the biggest news is this defense. I think Tim's finally going to get a defense he likes. They run, they're explosive, they're fast, and yeah, there's some youth there, but with that youth, there's a bunch of intelligence and work ethic. It's an unusual young group, but then Justin Reed is an impact defender coming in new. Hopefully Carlos Dunlap can contribute, but I'm really excited about this defense. I'll buy you all lunch in Opie at the cafe if I'm wrong about this, but I think the Chiefs defense will be the talk of the NFL pundits by Columbus Day or Halloween at the latest, because they'll say, oh gosh, what a surprise this group is.
Mitch, a couple of these young guys that I'm excited to watch in the regular season, you know, Trent McDuffie in the secondary, a kid out of Washington. I think he's going to get a chance to play maybe inside and outside, a kid who's, you mentioned intelligence, and he certainly fits the bill. And man, a guy I loved out of Wisconsin, Leo Chanel, a linebacker. Just a couple of guys that I think the Chiefs fans will be very excited to watch throughout the course of the season.
They're both after your heart, Tim. I'll tell you three more that are after your heart would be George Karloftis, who's going to get, I think he'll be in the 5-8 sack range and make plays just because of his effort. We saw that in the preseason. but his ability to also stay disciplined. He's a little more athletic than people think, and he's a very disciplined player, which will be required tomorrow against Arizona. But the other two seventh-round picks made this team. Two. It's rare for one to make it on any NFL team, but for two to make it and to be fairly prominent is almost unheard of. And so Isaiah Pacheco is also a kid after your own heart. There's a lot of stuff here. I mean, he had his sister was murdered, his brother was murdered in Jersey. He was a good player on a bad Rutgers team. Could have transferred, right, at the transfer portal. He stayed there because of his family. There's a lot to like about this kid, and he's tough, and he's smart. And another one is Jalen Watson, who hasn't received enough pub. He's a corner out of Washington State. He, too, has faced adversity. SC recruited him out of high school in California. Something happened there. He had to go back to Augusta, Georgia somehow and was cooking hamburgers. Then he goes to JUCO. Wazoo finds him. He's going to be on the field tomorrow. And, I mean, these are all guys that are going to play prominent roles this season, but all guys that are smart, tough. And I tried to bring this out, Greg, in those reports to you. These guys are emotionally and mentally mature. And it is a big step, kind of a counterculture group, for what a lot of coaches are facing with younger players who aren't ready. They might be ready physically, but not emotionally or mentally. These guys appear to be ready in all three boxes.
Mitch, you mentioned the group of wide receivers, but I'm also curious, this group of running backs, how do you see the roles playing out over the course of the season?
I have warned you, I loved it when Mahomes said it this week, because I'm thinking, oh, thank you, Patrick. Now everybody will take heed, because on this show for 20, well, since Andy's been here, 10, I said, don't take a Chief on your fantasy team other than Kelce or Mahomes. It'll frustrate you. Like, I'm going to take McColl, and he'll bust out for 113 against Denver, and then the next week have two targets. I mean, that's just the way Andy's offense is. So you ask about the running backs, and many times when someone asks that question, not you, Tim, but they would be asking for fantasy reasons. Like, who should I take for fantasy this week? And I would tell you, take none of them. I wish I knew and predicted which guy would pop out, but they all complement each other. So Pacheco is part of the complement. Bigger, stronger, faster guy. Still runs a 4.37 at 218 pounds. He's been a missing ingredient for the team. But McKinnon, look at what he did last year in the playoff run. And he's effective in this offense. Clyde is the one we hope can break through. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And especially in the passing game. One of the adjustments that I have seen, and I'm not going to throw Ronald Jones Jr. out of this. Somebody's got to be inactive tomorrow, and it may be Ronald Jones Jr., but don't read too much into that, because the next week or the next Thursday night game, he could run for 80 yards. The point is, I think that the Chiefs receivers, runners as receivers, will be more prominent, and not just angles and checkdowns. I mean third-level throws, deep throws to the running back. The Chiefs have got to pick up some chunk plays that are vacant, with Tyreek Hill leading, but those chunk plays can come in unaccustomed circumstances, and one of those is throwing deep to the running back.
Well, and, you know, just getting to the wide receivers just for a second, I know everyone's disappointed that Tyreek left, obviously a guy that was just so spectacular with the plays he can make, but I'm not so sure this group of wide receivers they have right now aren't a better rounded group than what Kansas City has had. It's just a matter of everybody getting comfortable within the offense. I mean, there's some really good talent in this bunch.
Point well taken. Here's what I was, and when Greg asked me for the quick snapshot, hey, what do you think? I couldn't add these 2 points. I didn't want too long of an answer, but I'm glad this triggers this thought. Look at what the Chiefs did in the red zone in the preseason. But the first team was perfect. When they got in the red zone, they got touchdowns, not field goals or turn it over. Last year, they turned it over. Mahomes led the NFL with 4 red zone turnovers. Now, the point here is this wide receiver core is better suited to get you touchdowns in the red zone. Catch radius, bigger, taller receivers. In the red zone, it's arena football. Your 4.2 speed gets neutralized or taken away in the red zone. Doesn't matter. I can't run by you and run go into the stands. So I have to attack you the full width of the field, the full 53.6 yards across the field. That means I need to have guys, and the tight ends are included. Fortson's included in this. We saw him a couple of touchdowns. But Justin Watson, catch radius, arm length, size. Same with Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Same with JuJu Smith-Schuster. Doesn't have the catch radius, but he's a big, taller he's not tall, but he's thick and wide and can seal off a defender, which Tyree could not do. So I'm hoping that this team would be a lot better in the red zone. It could be the difference between 10-7 and 13-4 by getting just five more possessions, five more where you get four more points. You get sevens instead of threes, and that could be the slight margin of difference this year in a just super rich AFC and AFC West.
And Mitch, what's good?
Here we
right
go, boys. Here's the rookie.
Yeah, no, yeah, it. Yeah.
Here's the rookie.
Yeah.
You're Trent McDuffie.
Mitch, just talk about the veteran leadership that Valdez-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster bring to this wide receiver room with like a Sky Moore and a Mecole Hardman and a Justin Watson, who are rookies. Well, Mecole's been in for a couple of years, but just the veteran leadership that they're bringing to the wide receiver room.
Yeah, and Watson's actually been around 4 years with Tampa Bay, so he was around Tom Brady some. And your question is one that I don't have completely answered yet, because I had the same discussion with Eric Bieniemy and Greg Lewis this week in the hallway. And that is, we're going to find out about that when they face adversity. And that's what our two coaches said in the case of Valdez-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster. We know they faced adversity in the past, particularly Juju with his injury concerns in Pittsburgh, but they haven't faced it within this culture. And this culture has a way of uniquely handling flashpoints. It's been a secret sauce of success for Andy Reid. I think your point's a good one, too, when I think about what Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce have done in a leadership role since March the 23rd, which was the day of the Tyreek Hill trade. Patrick Mahomes has been an unusual leader over these past 5 months. He's 26 years old and acts like he's been in the league for 15 years. And his leadership, our guys follow him. So here's my point. Here's my answer, your circuitous answer to your question. How will Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster handle adversity as soon as tomorrow? Because I know how Mahomes will handle it. I know how he'll ask those two to handle it. I think, and Sky Moore's learning. I don't worry about Justin Watson either, because he's been around Brady. But and the other two have been around good quarterbacks. Don't take me to Hall of Fame quarterbacks. But not within this culture and this scheme. So that, to me, is a good question, but it remains to be answered, in my opinion.
Well, Mitch, a quick scout, this week one opponent for Kansas City.
Could be the A's against the Tigers, you know, in baseball. How often do you get two high draft picks in baseball as your quarterbacks in a game? Kyler Murray was a great outfielder for the Oklahoma Sooners. It was the 8th overall pick of the Oakland A's, and everybody thought Mahomes was going to play baseball for the Tigers. Tells me, though, about their athletic ability, and it starts with those two guys, right? Unusual athletes. Quick synopsis of Arizona. I mean, playoff team a year ago got whacked by the Rams. There's talent here. There's some explosive talent. Isaiah Simmons from Olathe North is a real impact defender for them. So is Buda Baker. But they're dealing with, when I look at their injury report, I'm looking at week 10, not week 1. It's amazing what these guys are dealing with already. They're not going to have Rondale Moore. They will have Marcus Golden, the former Mizzou Tiger, who's a pass rusher, good player. They may not have Zach Ertz. They don't have DeAndre Hopkins suspended because of PED. But they're just missing one of their top offensive linemen, Cody Ford, who they paid money to come over from Buffalo. They're just dealing with too much stuff this early in the season. We haven't even started yet. They lost a corner to a car accident. Jeff Gladney, former TCU player, was killed in a car accident tragically this summer. And then Antonio Hamilton is a starting corner for them. He played for us, and he burned his foot in a cooking accident over Labor Day weekend. It's like, I don't know what's going on with these guys, but they're dangerous. The Chiefs should take care of business, but they're going to have Chiefs have to play well and get off to a good start.
And to add to that, a short turnaround, because Thursday night it's the Chargers.
Well, here's my question. We started this whole thing with you. What do you think of Thursday nights, Mitch? Well, my answer is all the same, right? But when you have the quick turnaround, like when you have a Saturday, Thursday, and particularly you got to go on the road, here's why it's problematic right now. You can't even think about that game. Now, we got some coaches that have to work ahead on it, but you can't have one metapixel of a frame of thought, which doesn't make any sense, but to try to give you can't have 1/64th of an inch of thought on the Chargers because that'll get you beat. I mean, that's going to happen as soon as we beat the Cardinals, hopefully, and get on that plane. It'll start as soon as we get on the plane, not when we get off the plane. And that staff will be working furiously, and I'll tell you, Mahomes will be watching video on the plane ride home late Sunday night. So, yes, here we go. The Chiefs are the first team in National Football League history since 1921 that will have their first 8 games against teams with winning records the year before. Never happened to a new team in the history of the league, but it's happening to the Chiefs. But if there is a team and a coach and a quarterback that is best equipped to take on the mighty men of David here, looking at, you know, just thousands of enemies around them, then it's going to be these guys. Because to me, they're wired to do it. And it'll be fascinating to watch this transpire.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, what an exciting season, I think, that lays out in front of us. This AFC, man, it is just loaded. There are a lot of teams that I think have a chance to make some noise and certainly contend for a playoff berth.
Well, we all saw Buffalo Thursday night. I was glancing over my shoulder as I was working, and then I just stopped and like, okay, these guys are for real. They're way better than last year even, and that's not the only good team. So just bring it on, as Andy would say, just let's go. He's not afraid, and he's leading you, this quarterback, or leading us into battle, and that's a good two to lead you into any fracas.
Well, Mitch, thanks for the update. Have a great trip out to Arizona. Have a great call tomorrow. We'll be listening to you. And we look forward to visiting with you next Saturday and talking about 2 big wins for the Chiefs.
You got it, man, and I appreciate it. So, Dylan, are you Emporia High? Are you Olpe? Are you Lebo? Are you Hartford? Or what do we have here?
I'm a Spartan.
A Spartan all the way. There you
yeah.
go, man.
Yep.
True and true. Okay, good. Well, welcome to the squad. You're sitting there looking at Mahomes and Kelsey. I don't know who's who, but that's what you got facing you. So if you need to go to the bathroom real quick, go do that. Just looking at Tim and Greg, you're like, God, which one's Mahomes and which one's Kelsey?
The funny story, Mitch, is Greg has known me since I was in fifth grade because Greg's son Dan was in my fifth grade class. So he's known me a long time, and Tim's known me since I was in high school too. So both of these guys, you know, I looked up to when I was younger, and now they're colleagues of mine, and I'm glad to be on the same team with them.
He's just a pup, Mitch. He's just a pup.
So this is really a story of rehabilitation, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Rehab's wonderful.
All right. Hang in there. All right. Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.
Hey, boys.
That's Mitch Holtzis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Again, Mitch's appearance is made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS 4242-26. As he joined us on the Sutherland's studio line. Now, Mitch is going to be busy. He's got the Chiefs Sunday in Arizona and then come back and then a Thursday night game. Fortunately, that's not a road game for the Chiefs, and they take on the Chargers on a Thursday night affair. And I feel for him.
I guess if it was a road game, they'd just stay on the coast and hang out for a while.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, wouldn't be coming back to Kansas City, I'm sure. But, the Chiefs, big game for them coming up on Sunday and then again on Thursday. So hopefully we'll have a couple of wins to talk with Mitch about next Saturday when he joins us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning. Again, a big congratulations to our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week, Callie Keough of the Emporia High Girls Tennis Team, and Mitch Budke of the Chase County Football Team are our Emporia High and Area Athletes of the Week. Again, coming up today here on KVOE, KU football as the Jayhawks play at West Virginia. That's a 5 o'clock kickoff. And pregame already underway on Country 101.7 FM, Kansas State, Missouri. That game kicks off at 11. For Tim Miller and Dylan Sherwood, I'm Greg Ray. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongBineAuto.com.
KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM.